Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, the Ryder Cup teams are officially set. So for the fifth consecutive week, we will talk about the Ryder Cup and break down the European picks and what we think of Luke Donald's strategy. We will get into some college golf, some amateur golf. We had the Michigan Mid-Am. We have the U.S. Mid-Am for both men and women taking place this next week. So we will see if there's any Michigan players in the field. And we will get into a little bit of European golf as well. Ludvig Åberg gets his first victory on the tour. So we'll break that down as well. But first, Brad, let's start with the Ryder Cup. We officially have our team set. Luke Donald makes his picks. What are your initial thoughts? Give me a sentence to break down your thoughts of the picks. Give me like a little quick little.
My elevator pitch?
Yeah, your elevator pitch. Love that. Yeah.
My elevator pitch is they are top heavy. That's my elevator pitch.
Which it seems like that's always the case, isn't it? It feels like Yes. That's like the Europeans, and then you just have to depend on a couple of these guys that I don't know if we went over them, but I think it was Kyle Porter maybe 2 weeks ago did a tweet thread or thread of or an X thread, whatever it's called these days, where it's breaking down captain's picks. And those Europeans always perform when it comes to captain's picks.
Yes, they do. And they always have like that one just gritty guy who always shows up. But outside of that, I mean, I think they also look pretty good. The line is now down to plus 130. So I think when we originally started, we were at plus 175. It has done nothing but gone down. I can't help but be, so obviously I'm a USA guy through and through, but there's a couple guys on this team that I just really like as players, and it's going to be very hard to root against them.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think that's fair. They're all very likable guys. So just for people that don't know or haven't gotten caught up yet, Tommy Fleetwood, I think the guys that were obvious picks that there was no problems with were Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, and Sepp Straka. And then I think Ludvig Åberg kind of made it impossible for him not to be picked when he goes out and wins the week before the captain's picks are made. And obviously he's put together a really good, strong campaign in his freshman year on the PGA Tour. But then I think the big question mark really came down to Nikolai Højgaard. 22-year-old got picked over Adrian Meronk, who I think, I'll tell you what, from the looks of Twitter, it seems like there's a little bit of an outcry for Adrian and how he was not picked. He's third third in the Race to Dubai standings. He has 3 wins since Nikolai Højgaard had his last win. He's about 25 spots higher on the official world golf rankings than what Nikolai Højgaard is. So I think I've already seen interviews this morning. I think obviously he's going to be rooting for Team Europe, but I think he feels a little snub. But I think you were mentioning, what was the stat from Data Golf, that actually Meronk is higher than what the official world golf rankings are, not higher, worse, I guess, however that would be phrased.
Yeah. So I think what's interesting about the pick is that on paper, in terms of like points, Meronk was the easy pick. But if you take a more analytical approach to it, then it was Højgaard. So I don't know. It's tough because the points are there for a reason, but in all sense of like a trend index and looking at true strokes gained over a period of time, Højgaard has been performing at a steady incline as opposed to Meronk, who has kind of had peaks and troughs and kind of gone a little bit all over the place. So I don't know, as a numbers guy myself, I can't I can't hate the pick too much, because how can I hate someone who uses an analytical approach? But then at the same time, it's like, how can you, you're basically telling the players that the points ultimately don't matter at the end of the day. So I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. And I think probably the most important part that I feel like I definitely buried the lead a little bit is that Adrian Meronk won the Italian Open at Marco Simeone, where the Ryder Cup is being played. So
yes, there that's are intangible that there are some numbers things. Cannot.
It's tricky. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the one making those picks.
Yeah, that's something that numbers just can't show you. I don't know. I mean, as a USA guy, you know, I don't hate him leaving someone home that just won a tournament there. But he's definitely going to hear about it if Højgaard goes out there and just totally, blows up and plays terrible.
And I don't think this should be like taken too much into consideration. But like, I always feel for a guy like, so Meronk is 30, Højgaard I think is 22. So like, just the 8 year like Hogard's going to have his chance. He's going to get his chance. But like, what if Meronk like has a freak injury and he doesn't have two more good years left in him, and it's like, I know 30 is not that old, so maybe not the best example. Maybe a guy more like in his like mid-30s, like Keegan Bradley was, but yeah. I still think it's worth mentioning.
The point still remains, right?
Yeah.
So, can we take a minute though to talk about Ludvig and what a testament to PGA Tour U?
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, talk about a dream start to this whole experiment. I mean, I feel like we've been screaming it from the rooftops that these college players are more than good enough to play on the PGA Tour right from the get-go. And then there's really was never a good, easy path to do it. And now to see a guy that make the Ryder Cup team and without playing in the majors, which I think, didn't you say that's the first time that's ever happened?
I think I saw that on Twitter. First person ever who will play in the Ryder Cup that did not play in that year's majors.
Or any majors for that matter.
Exactly right.
I bet you the point still stands either way, but any major sounds, makes the stats down a little better, I think.
Makes it pop. Mm-hmm. So pretty incredible stuff by him, and he totally deserves it. He's one of the guys, so earlier I mentioned there's guys that make it hard to not root for them. I would put him in that category. I mean, honestly, like, you list off the whole team, I wouldn't say that there's a guy that I dislike on that team. And I'll be quite frank, I'll kind of like Shaquille O'Neal Højgaard a little bit, just because I'll be honest, I'm not like, I mean, he's a name that comes up, but I'm not diving in and out of his game week in and week out. So sorry, Højgaard, I'm not familiar with your game, but these other guys are household names that we know and we've talked about. I mean, Tyrrell Hatton has been talked about maybe more than just about any other guy on this podcast. So I think they're going to have good chemistry. I have like the Ryder Cup Europe team page pulled up right now, and it just has all of their pictures like across my screen. And how about just like going to the grab a drink at the pub, as they would probably call it, with these guys, having a pint.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have some good chemistry. So I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. I feel like Nikolai's claim to fame, which is, I mean, no fault of his own, is just the fact that he's a twin, and his brother is also really good at golf too. I feel like that's what I always hear Højgaard twins a lot more than I hear singular Højgaard at one time.
So he's almost like a poor man's Fitzy.
Yeah. Yeah. In a way. Yeah. So quickly, before we move on, I want to run through, Brad has got me on a day to golf a little bit. So I just want to run through, there's a few, I guess I wouldn't say a few differences between the day to golf and the world golf rankings that I think are pretty crazy. Robbie McIntyre, for example, is 54th in the world golf rankings, and he's 129th in data golf. He's only gained a quarter of a shot in his last 3 months, so not necessarily coming in. I know he almost won against Rory. If it wasn't for Rory's amazing 2-iron on 18, but still not coming in necessarily in the best form. Justin Thomas at 59, Sepp Straka at 53, Shane Lowry at 52, Hogarth at 51, Koepka at 42, Åberg at 37, Spieth at 23, Rose at 22, Burns at 19, Brian Harman at 16, Fitzpatrick at 15, Fowler at 14. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't realize how Data Golf likes Ricky more than I thought they would have.
Yes, they do.
Wyndham Clark at 13, Tyrrell Hatton at 11, Max Homa at 10, Colin Morikawa at 8. This is where I think it gets interesting because it gets actually fairly even from here as far as a split between U.S. and Europeans. So Tommy Fleetwood at 7, John Rahm at 6, Cantlay at 5, Schauffele at 4, Hovland at 3, Scotty at 2, and Rory at 1. So right there, I mean, just in the top 7, you have there are 4 Europeans to 3 Americans. So we mentioned top heavy. They obviously have, if those guys can just play how they are supposed to, it will definitely be, I mean, there's no way it's not going to come down to Sunday.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be a good matchup. And so it is always interesting going through and comparing Data Golf versus the World Golf Rankings. Because according to Data Golf, they've got Russell Henley there at 12, who not very many people were even talking about him when it came down to USA picks.
Yeah. No, exactly. No, absolutely.
But it's just because he's been lights out for the last 6 months, which it's like, you know, when you throw Data Golf into the Ryder Cup, it makes it, if you try to take a true analytical approach to the Ryder Cup, I don't think that you would be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, because do I think Russell Henley should be on Team USA? No.
Yeah, I totally agree. Probably not more deserving guys, and that's where maybe the numbers lie a little bit. Just a little bit. All right, before we move on to more amateur golf and whatnot, I do want to, just now that we're on international golf, we will quickly mention United States against Great Britain and Ireland in the Walker Cup. Had a little bit of history this past week, and they were playing at the old course. They were down 3 points going into Sunday's final round. They came storming back. They won 3 out of the 4 Sunday foursomes and then 7 of the 10 singles matches to claim their 4th consecutive Walker Cup, commanding overall record to 39 wins, 9 losses, and 1 draw. So those Great Britain boys, they got to start, Great Britain / Ireland, I should say. They got to get things figured out over there. But it was on TV. It was awesome. I mean, anytime you get to watch the old course, is always fun.
Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I watched I watched all of it on Sunday for the most part, from 8 a.m. until, oh, maybe it wasn't like super long. Maybe until 8 a.m. until noon or so.
So I had it on as we were doing stuff around the house, and so kind of passively watching. But I did notice a few things. One, very windy. Those guys were playing in some wind. And then two, the like overall rankings disparity between the guys that were on the US team versus the, whatever it is, like Great Britain, Ireland, whatever, they toss them all together for the Walker Cup, was astounding. Some of the guys on the other team were ranked in like the 200s versus like everyone on the US was very highly ranked. And then the third thing I noticed was that Gordon Sargent just hit a nails drive on 18 at the old course, drove the green, missed the eagle putt, but made the birdie. But man, I can't even drive the green in like the PGA video games.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that man hits the ball so incredibly far. It is his hips move faster than I can't even put it into words. It's incredible to watch. And then especially with the downwind firm conditions, he was putting on a clinic.
Yeah, so definitely a name to keep an eye on. I'm sure he'll be a household name at some point, but that drive, I mean, and especially that, so he needed birdie to win that hole and then to win his match, I believe. So to do that with pressure is pretty incredible.
And then one final point I will make that I think is that was really funny is Stuart Hagstad, who is at this point probably a household name. He seems like he plays in the Masters every year as an amateur and U.S. Open, whatnot. And I think he's 35 or 36 years old, and they put him up against the 17-year-old in singles.
No, he was 16, I thought. I thought he's 16.
So all the news articles said 16, but the Walker Cup website says 17. So I think he must have just turned 17. But this kid is so tiny.
he looked like – he's like me. When I was his age, I looked like a baby. And so I'm glad I wasn't in the national spotlight like him.
His name was Connor Graham. And he actually put up a pretty good fight. I think he ended up losing 3-2. And this, you mentioned, highly ranked player or players ranked really low, I guess, in this case. He's ranked 210 in the world amateur golf rankings. He did win the 2023 Scottish Amateur Open. So he came in hot. And actually, he had a victory in those first couple of days because I was keeping an eye on him. So obviously, always cool. Like I said, in the beginning, it's always cool when you get to watch an event at the old course. So congratulations to Team USA on four consecutive. Now let's bounce back to Michigan, I suppose, to the Michigan Mid-Am. Took place. We talked about it last week, I believe. It was on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday was at the Hills course at Boyne Highlands. Thursday was at the Moore. Matt Zirbel from St. Joseph ended up winning the event. The only person that was under par. Shot a 75 at the Hills, followed up with a 65 at the Moore. So congratulations to Matt. Chet Vandenberg from Portage finished second at plus one. Billy Nelson finished third at plus two. Moving on to Moore Mid-Am, we have the men's U.S. Mid-Am taking place at the Sleepy Hollow Country Club alongside Fenway Golf Club, but the main host is Sleepy Hollow. We have three Michigan guys playing. John Quigley from Sterling Heights. He played golf at Barry University in Florida. David Seismansk from East Lansing played golf at Robert Morris University, and then Dave Wilson from Rockford. And then on the women's side, they also have the U.S. Mid-Am taking place starting this Saturday over in Pennsylvania. Kimberly Dinn, who had some success last year in the Mid-Ams, from Midland, who played at Wisconsin. She is in the field, and she's actually the first woman to ever win the Midland City Open when it became an open championship. So she's an absolute stick. She works with one of my old coaches, so it's nice to see her playing well. Jacqueline Satis from East Lansing, who used to play for Michigan State. Lauren Bayford from Trenton, who played for Western Michigan. And Chelsea Clora from Wyanette, who played for Madonna, and then Isabel Jimenez from Kalamazoo will round out the players from Michigan that are in the field. And then over in Brad's neck of the woods, down in Grand Haven, the Michigan State boys are playing in the American Dunes, the Folds of Honor Collegiate at American Dunes Golf Club. If you've never played there, that is an awesome golf course. I highly recommend it. Through two rounds, they are currently in the lead after a tough first round. I think they were T10 through the first round, shot 291. They followed that up with a 279 in the second round. So currently leading by three over Arizona. August Mikoff, minus one. Ashton McCullough, even. Drew Hackett, plus one. Bradley Smithson, plus four. And the defending Michigan Am champion, Lorenzo Pinelli, at plus five. And then finally, I guess not finally, I got two more things. From the Michigan side, Michigan men, they played in the Island Classic up in the Upper Peninsula. They ended up winning that by five shots over Illinois State with a score of 834. Hunter Thomas and Ben Hoagland went 2 and 3, respectively, shooting scores of 202, 206. Some pretty low scores out there, 64 for Ben in the second round, 65, 66 for Hunter in the second and third rounds. And then go ahead.
Sorry, did you say where was that?
It was the one up in Sage Run, the Sea Island. Sage Run. Yeah, the Sea Island Sweet. Collegiate. So that's why I've always, because I think they play, and I will check that, but It's the Sea Island Intercollegiate, maybe. And it's hosted by like South Dakota State. So it's kind of weird that.
Huh.
Upper Peninsula. But I was gonna say I know one of the courses is Sage Run, but I want to say they also play Sweetgrass too, but it might only be Sage Run. Sage Run Golf Club is proud to welcome. Yeah, so it looks like it is
Michigan. Huh. What a interesting mix of schools.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, so this Michigan State used to play in this, and then they started that Folds of Honor Collegiate.
Yeah, right.
So it seems like Michigan's kind of taken their place. So, and then finally, Central Michigan University and Western Michigan University women were playing at Augaming this past weekend. The Central Michigan girls finished in fifth place. The Western Michigan girls finished in sixth place. And Bridget Boxcar from Oakland, we've mentioned on this podcast several times, she shot a 5-under 67 in the final round to shoot 10-under 206 total to claim the medalist honors. So congratulations to Bridget, and congratulations to Abilene Christian University, which that's a long trip. Is that not in Texas?
I thought so.
Holy trip. Well, probably a little warmer, a little colder up here than it is down there. So not the worst thing in the world. So they ended up winning. Abilene Christian University ended up winning 3-under par, the only team to shoot under par, and they lapped the field several times over again. Next closest was 13 over par, Oakland University. And that is all I have from the college side of things. I feel like you mentioned when we were doing an intro, you had a couple like random things, or did we already talk about them?
No, I was just, you know, obviously not a ton going on in the golf world right now, but I couldn't help but notice our boy JT posting a video of himself at the driving range using the old pool noodles, gearing up for the Ryder Cup. Yeah. And so I guess my random tidbit question to you is, do you have any out of the box drills that you do? Do you do drills, or do you just play kind of guy? I find some guys, so there's a video that has circled around the internet, and the reason why I bring it up is Zyre Golf, an Instagram account, posted JT, and then they posted this other guy who has like five of these noodles, like this thing on his head, like all these contraptions. And so comparing JT to this guy, and do you have any weird drills that you do or anything?
Not to that level. And I think a lot of it goes, I love, you're not going to hear me say many bad things about Petoskey Baby Country Club, because I think that is my home and I love it to death. But the range is awful. It is just a really bad range. It's uphill, probably about 15, 20 feet from front to back, maybe even a little bit more. And the range balls are shit. So they don't fly very high, and the range is on a complete side hill slope. So I think when we go to Birchwood to the pool, and I'll hit balls for 30 minutes or so, that range, because it's a little bit downhill, you got greens to look at, it just, I feel like I'm actually getting something out of my practice so much more. But I think when I was younger, I practiced too much, where I was a range rat, didn't have, and that's when I was still at, like taking lessons at Boyne, but I wasn't 16 yet, so I wasn't able to drive a cart. Or maybe that might have been when like they switched to 18, so I kind of had to be secretive about it, so I wasn't able to play that much. So I think I almost hit too many range balls, where I think you almost get, like, it's one thing to hit range balls, but then when you're actually out there, like, you're never getting a flat lie on the golf course, or it's never going to be like exactly, there's not enough expectations on the range, I think, is what, at least for me, which has almost kind of hurt my love for the range. So long answer short, or short answer long, I like to be on the course. But I do have that ball. See, that dang ball I like. I don't, Tad stole it.
Dang ball?
That ball you put between your wrist.
Have you ever seen
me use that thing? That you can, yeah, hit some really,
you don't drop it.
Yeah, you just can't drop it. Yeah, exactly. It's similar to like a towel between your armpits, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So you're not Justin Thomas out there with pool noodles.
No, that's bonkers. And I don't think I'm not a good enough golfer to make that repeatable of a golf swing. Like, I'd rather just gotta figure it out. Just gotta figure it out. Just gotta feel it out.
Is Justin Thomas down bad, or is this a good sign that he's doing pool noodle drills?
It definitely seems like a little bit of an act of desperation.
Uh-oh.
Like a look at me sort of thing. Like, look at me, I'm practicing. Like, yeah, you damn right, you better be practicing. You're terrible.
Oh, geez. Well, no, outside of that, I did not have much. I was on the injured reserves this past weekend, so I did not play golf. Did you play any golf?
I'm also we're just we are well, let's not talk about Dustin Thomas, let's talk about us. We're the ones down bad. I last Tuesday night we were playing, and it was the first of like a little bit of a cold spell, and I felt it happening in my back. It tightened up and it was bad when I got home, and I ended up playing, this is just goes, I ended up playing Wednesday, probably just made it worse. And then I did take Thursday off, thankfully. But then Kaylee and Mike were in town, so we played 9 holes at Birchwood on Friday afternoon, and then I played 18 holes Saturday morning, and I just felt so bad after that. So I haven't played since. Playing today, hopefully. It's been pouring here,
Oh,
but
man.
we kind of need the rain. So I'm hoping
Yeah.
that it's not like it should be done by the time that we are teeing off. So I'm just hoping that we can still take carts. I might even walk 9 holes. I just need to play golf.
Well, Thousand Oaks aerated yesterday and today, so they got to be absolutely pumped with the rain.
Yeah, that's good timing. Really good timing. But was it dry this weekend?
Yes. Yeah, it was hot.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, really
Hot
good.
and dry.
Yeah, we've been aerating. We've almost started to over aerate. Not over aerate, but we aerate once a month.
Oh, wow.
But not
Like
like,
plugs?
no, they're like little slivers. You can
Like
really,
spikes?
yeah,
Yeah.
and they don't like over sand them. So you really, if they do a good job with it, it can be putted on with a little bit of notice the day of, and then by the next day, if they water it right, it's usually pretty good.
So in my adventure of home ownership, I've learned the difference between two different types of aeration. There's plug versus spike. Plug is where, when everybody shows up and you get the discounted rates because there's literal holes in the ground.
Yep.
Spike is are just literal spikes that put, and they both put holes in the ground, but spikes don't remove any dirt.
Oh, okay.
So plugs, they put a big hole, pulls out a big plug of dirt. Spike, it's just like a little spike going in the ground and kind of almost tilling the ground, but not ripping anything up. So
Right, that
there's my agricultural tip of the day.
What was the
The difference between aeration.
Oh, okay.
You gotta know the difference,
That's
man. You
true.
gotta know the
You
difference.
absolutely. You never know when you're gonna be put in a position to have to know the difference, and now you'll
See,
know.
now when you're at a party, you can bust that out and people will be super impressed, I
Yeah,
promise.
absolutely. I can't imagine they wouldn't be. Right, I think that's all I have.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the mid-ams taking place. Like I said, starting this Saturday, running through middle of the end of next week. So we will see how the Michigan men and women do in that. We have some, still have some golf, so don't worry. You can go watch some early morning golf, the Irish Open at the K Club. Well, I'm sure it'll be on, and I'm sure that's a halfway decent field. Actually, I was looking at the European events leading up to the Ryder Cup, and they're actually pretty good. There's a decent field, so you're still, for those golf fiends out there'll still be a little bit of golf to watch. So don't worry about that. All
Alrighty.
right, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.